Welcome to winter.
Okay. So yesterday we said today we would speak about these two aspects of the Akedah. The aspect of the Akedah, the first aspect which we said was the actual Akedah, the Akkad, that's Yitzchok. The second aspect was the Shechita the Isle, Avraham Avinu being Shechita the Isle. We said that we'll see how that fits in with the two aspects of Kiddush Hashem, those that live as Kiddush Hashem and those that die as Kiddush Hashem, the two different types of people in Klal Yisrael. We said yesterday we would try and tie that in and see how that fits with the aisle and the Akedah itself. That's Chaim al Kiddush Hashem, Rumis al Kiddush Hashem. That's the sugya. So I'm at the bottom of Reish Chof Tes. Shnei Inyoni Mesiris Nefesh Eilu Ramuzim Be'inyan Akedah. These two aspects of Kiddush Hashem are meramus to us in the Akedah.
Just need to unplug it for a second.
Second. Ha'ayil mesemel es ha'yudim ha'sheheim bebechines nechaz bezvach bekarnov. The mesiris nefesh that's represented by the aisle is the Jews that are caught up in the thicket, in the bush, entangled. The aisle, remember, its horns were Pchimba, Veiris, Bemesha, Chola, Shanaf, in Veiris, the entire year. Like as I'll say, Yitzchak, Bekarnov. His horns are caught up in the horns. Melamed Sheharo, Kodesh Boch, Kulam, Ravino. This is Chazal telling us that a Kodesh Boch, to Avraham Avinu, Zevere Shacher. Don't know what he means. It's teaching us, this teaches of course, Boch, who showed Avraham Avinu, this aisle is moved. See what this means. I'm a Kodesh Boch, Avraham Avinu, Vanecha, Liyas, Nechozim, Bavoynes, Venizbochim, Betzores. They're going to go from one entanglement to another entanglement, from one Aveira to another Tzorah, from another Tzorah to another Aveira. The Sefer Nigoreh will be written by the horn of the isle. It's a bit abstract, this Midrash. It's Midrash Rabbein Vayikro. Nothing Kabbalistic, just there's just Midrash. But that's what it's telling you. Kosh Bochu showed Avraham Avinu the isle, going from one problem to another, from one Aveira to the next Aveira, to one Tzoros to another Tzoros. Tangled, Mamash, the Loshon of entangled. These horns are caught up in the thorn bush. Ever bothered you why the aisle that Avram was going to shecht in place of Yitzhak needed to be Karnov, Bezvach, Bekarnov, and that his thorns had to be hooked up to entangled in a thorn bush? Just have it standing there nicely waiting, calmly sitting on the side of the road, you know, waiting for Avram to come along and take it. It had to be tangled up. Now that's what the Midrash is telling you. That's Pshat. Kach atidin bonecho liyeis neechozin ba'avoyneis v'nizbochim b'tzores. Yeah. And they'll be goyled, they'll be rekirim. Ha'al amnam nishchat b'poel. And we saw the aisle did get shechted. Mamash. Achlo bitles ritzoyne ha'atzmi lichyot. Old Pam, don't know what he means, but it didn't nullify its desire, its own personal desire to live. Yudim eilu shteasotin hu ayetzohara mizbocham bavoynais. These Jews, the sotin, who's the yetzohara, entangles them bavoynais. That's Loshon Rashi. That means they didn't give up their ritzonos to live the fi the ratzon of Hashem. But in the end, the dad lost Kiddush Hashem. And the same as the Isle. And the Isle didn't give up his Ritzayin and said he wanted to live. But in the end, what happened? He was shechted, lost Kiddush Hashem. That's the symbol of the Jews that are caught up, that don't live their lives of Kiddush Hashem. But in the end, they die of Kiddush Hashem. They're like the isle that the sotten entangles and it tarabs. So we're not making this up. The connection between the Kiddush Hashem, that comes through the Misa, even of somebody who lived a life immersed in Averus, like we mentioned yesterday, many examples from the Holocaust, from many different places, that's Chazal talking. That's Daima the Isle, that's Chazal. That's not making up Dimyanus here. The Midrash Mufureshet. Okay. Luma Sam Aindim Aisam Yudhi Kadoshim, Ashechai Bemesiris Nefesh Beyesam Bechai. Then on the other side of the coin, you have Jews that live their lives with Mesiris Nefesh while they're alive. Eschayei Mesemeles Ha'akeda Atzmoy. Their lives are medama to the actual Akedah, to the binding. Yeah, the Akedah is the binding of Isaac. Yitzchok Avinu lo meis b'poil. He didn't really die. Even though he says, yeah, b'chazal, we know that the movement Shepirch and Ishmosai, his neshama left, but sof sof, achrem Isaac, Akedah, u neisachai. Then the day after the Akedah, he was alive. Some sort of esoteric death took place there, you know, that the Noshama left, you got a new Noshama, the ashes of Yitzhak come before me. Yeah, okay, but at the end of the day, he got up and he went out again, he got married, he raised a family, and he lived a lot. So he didn't die there. Well, Yitzhak Avinu Moses called it to Noisov Lakodesh Baruch Hu, but Yitzhak had given up everything to Hakodesh Baruch Hu. The whole Nafshecha, Filo Noisov is Nafshecha, he got to that dagger. But poil. The greatest desire a person has is to live. It's unbelievable. Even if you look in nature, a cockroach, you ever try to kill a cockroach? Yeah, he doesn't give up his life so quickly. He doesn't just say, oh, okay, well, bash me with your shoe, you know, like squash me if you want. You know, so your wife's standing on the dining room table screaming, you have to kill this cockroach. Yeah, he does everything to stay alive, a human as well. Deepest desire that a person has is to stay alive. Ain rotzen gevur mimeni. There's no rotzen bigger than that. It's a rotzen azem mosa Yitzchak Avinu l'kodesh Baruch Hu ki lo oma kodesh bo. Yitzchak Avinu gave that rotzen to Hashem. Like he said, ani shelcha v'kol asheli shelacho. I'm yours, and whatever I have is yours. Inyan ze bo lidei bitu b'bakashosa shel Yitzchak l'koshe yofe yofe. That desire of Yitzhak to do the Rotzen Hashem, afilu it meant giving up his life, is expressed in the binding. Please tie me well, because I don't want to make any movements here that may be possible, the korban. Zuhu bitul muchlat shel hergesh hatevi hanitra mipnei amaves. That's a total nullification of your deepest instinct. The deepest instinct, the deepest desire that a person has, it's reflex almost. Not almost, it's mamash reflex. Yeah? That desire to live is, we know that. Anyone's been in a slightly scare, you're flying in an aeroplane and suddenly, you know, the plane hits an air pocket. Yeah? You know that you want to be alive at that moment, and it's gut, it's mamash in the core of a person. Something you have to think, well, do I mind that the plane's about to crash? Maybe I do mind, maybe I don't. No. One's busy philosophizing at that moment. At that moment, you want to live. And you know you want to give that up. And not just give it up, but to give it up cool and calm and collected. No intensity. But please tie me down because I'm scared I might move and then that'll mess up the whole thing. I don't want the Corbin to be possible. When you're the Corbin, that's some level. That's some unbelievable level. If you want a real life example, I think I put on the recording, and it's a bit upsetting for whoever. And I did, okay, well, I'm remembered to do something today. So if you want a real life example of that, if you saw Sassad, everything else he did, but he was more involved in trying to get in to keep Torah mitzvahs. Anyway, he was in France. don't know where in France, but he was in France, and he realized his days were numbered, and he was about to die. So the community also, they didn't know what to do with him. You know, one wasn't a Frum community, but there was this old rabbi, and he was his days were numbered, and they didn't know what to do with him. So they rented a space for him, like a room, a house, whatever, and they put him there, and they hired somebody to take care of him, you know, and to be with him, you know, take care of his food and his and whatever while he was on his deathbed. So this Shomer reported that Rav Yisrael Salanter said to him, "Have you ever been with a dead person before?" So I said, "No." You know, he was almost terrified. "Have you been with a dead person?" So Rav Yisrael Salanter calmly spent time explaining to him, "There's nothing to be worried about. This is what's going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and this is what you need to do when this happens." He went through all the halachas and all the yonim of what happens when you were the person that's about to die. Calmly, relaxed. No, you know, it's the last few moments I have on this earth. I've got to rev up my ruchnias, and I've got to get ready to say Shema with the right kavanas. And no, he's concerned for another Jew who's going to be with a dead person for the first time, and maybe he's going to be scared. And until Rav Yisrael Salanter was sure that this guy was, everything was fine about him, he carried on explaining to him whatever. Then he saw the guy was okay, and he closed his eyes and he said Shema. That's how he gave up his life. The Rotzen Hashem. I'm busy dying now. So what's the Rotzen Hashem? The Rotzen Hashem is that this Yidya shouldn't be scared when you die. So therefore you have an obligation to make sure that he knows what he's going to do, and he's going to be fine and calm and chilled when this event happens, and he shouldn't be mamish like, your death shouldn't cause this guy tzar. That's what he's concerned about at the end of his life. And that's how he died. No, I haven't got time to be nice to this guy right now. I've got to get ready for the big mitzvah. I'm going to get, you know, no, that's Yitzhak. Not revving himself up. No high esoteric Kabbalistic moments taking place here the minute before your death. Just the Rotzen Hashem is this, please, do what you mind. I'm just tying me down because I don't want to be a chas v'chalil. I want to apostle the Korban. You're the Korban. Those are some daggers of that's what he's supposed to do, no? No intensity, no revving up the moment. Just what does Hashem want in doing that? It goes against the deepest yesod reflex, physical instinct to stay alive. That's what Yitzhak achieved. Unbelievable. That's that, and that's expressed via the akedah, by the binding. Please bind me. It's not the etzem binding that was the big event. It was the unbelievable dagger that Yitzhak got to do the Rotzen Hashem, even in the face of his own deepest desire to live. Chaim shel mesiras nefesh einim pshutim klal v'klal. From Yitzhak and from Rav Yisrael Salanter, there's many stories like that. You see that living a life of mesiras nefesh is not posh. It's klal or posh. Just getting out of bed in the morning when it's freezing cold, yeah? There's a deep desire to stay snuggled up and warm. But you have to go daven. Yeah, but you know how cold it is? We're not in Toronto now where you get out of bed and it's warmer inside than it is outside in summer, you know. Now we're talking about we get out of bed and it's just around the house, it's freezing. You know, your feet touch the balatos, you know, and that's -4. You know, you can't find your slippers. So what do you do? So you have to get up and you gotta go. That's mysterious fish. Don't minimize that. That's big news. I'm not Yitzhak Avinu. Yeah, it wasn't hard to do Yitzhak Avinu. It was hard to do me. But we do that all the time. We give up our desires. Yeah, you're hungry and you suddenly realize you haven't davened Ma'ariv. So you have to go davened Ma'ariv before you can eat. Yeah, but I'm hungry. Fine. So, you know, have a little snack quickly and then go davened Ma'ariv. Then you come back and you'll eat. Yeah, but no, because the Rotzen Hashem is you have to daven before you wash. So you have to go daven Ma'ariv. Okay, that's hard. The lo klal, klal lo poshut bichlal, living a life of Mesiras Nefesh. We're not talking about giving up your life, mamash. Talking about every little moment. You deem it the moide b'kol rega mul yitzre mul ritzer neisa v'tav osu. Every minute of one's life, like the Mesiras Yisharim there says, every second, you have the Yetzahara, you have your desires, you have your taivas. Every Every second a person can be over the Ratzon Hashem. It's there. It's an ongoing battle. If we have to bind yourself, a person has create fences for himself, boundaries for himself, incentives for himself, all sorts of different tricks and games and plans and methodologies, whatever those are, in order to bind himself to doing what he's supposed to do. Because if not, if you just let yourself go, the Yetzirah runs, it's downhill. You run without pedaling. You have to go up, you have to pedal, you have to create, that's called binding. You have to hold on tight to what you know. And by the way, as we get further and further away from Sinai and closer to Mashiach, it gets worse and worse and worse and darker, and the battles become more and more intense. And the seichel itself even has a problem holding on to reality. You have to just hold on tight. When you live, that was the nisoyin. It's not for now, but we can talk about that sometime. The essence of the nisoyin by the Akedah, according to the Kadmonim, is it was the nisoyin of Bilbul Adas. The whole story of the Akedah is completely not clear. There's no clear instructions. There's no clear anything about the whole event. The whole event is a chizus hanayim. The whole thing is one big charade. And Avraham doesn't even know which son to take first. He doesn't just take Yitzhak and go, no, take your son. You're only on your first son. Where to? No, I'll tell you when you get there. No, but I don't know which way to go. It doesn't matter. Just go. You know, and then it's all cloudy and dark and it's all confusion. And then he tells him, don't shecht him because that's not what I wanted in the first place. But you told me to. No, I didn't. The whole thing is made up of all Bilbul Adas. The whole thing is Bilbul Adas. The Chofetz Chaim says that's going to be the next sign before Moshiach comes. Going to be a sign of Bilbul Adas. You see that today with Virus. You've never seen anything more clear is the Bilbul that we live with today. When that's happening, you have to just hold on tight. When you don't have clarity, you have to just hold on. That's the key. You've got to bind yourself to what you know and stick with it. It requires creating your own bindings, your own fences, your own limitations, your own gedorim. Because no one else is going to do that for you. That was the Mesidus Neshvesh of Yitzchak by the Akedah. That inheritance he bequeathed to his descendants, that's us after him. Yudim Asugi Leyes Bechai Oile Tmima, person is able to be an Oile Tmima in his own life. Kashe Koli Shiyasav Hu Oile Klil Hashem. All his Shifas are for Hashem. Those Shifas don't always get expressed. That's not the problem. The problem is you have to have the sheaf. We spoke about that earlier, that a person has two separate middahs. There's a middah of yearning, of wanting, and then there's the middah that he can actually do. We limit our yearnings based on what we're able to do. Remember we said that from Rav Pinkelzatzal earlier? Because that's taut gadol. That's a big mistake. You can shayef and yearn to be like Yitzhak Avinu. You know, you'll never be there. Lo mashaneh. Yearn for that. And then be you. And be able to understand, I'm telling you from my own experience and from having spoken to people, the biggest problem is we're not in touch with our own reality. We look at these stories, we hear about these things, and we see, well, there's a little, it's not shaykh for me, it's got nothing to do with me, and he law, the law kashua lai. No, no, you look every day, you'll see how many times a day you With the aisle also caught up in the thorn bush as well, for sure. And with that as well. Yeah, we're full of chesroiness and we're full of problems and avaders and yeah, for sure. No one's saying not. But when push comes to shove, we also hit some. Yeah, we've all got our problems, but at the same time, we also have many instances in the day where we make some effort. It's not dramatic and it doesn't make headline news and it's, you know, nobody's going to give you a gold star for that, whatever. Most times no one even knows, but we need to know. We don't celebrate enough what we achieve. Seriously. By the time a person's finished shachris, do you know how many mitzvahs you've done? You know how much you've achieved? You know how many sinus you've gone through? Before you get home for breakfast, okay? You know how many times you've been up on the Akedah? You know how many times you've been awkward? You know how many times you've shechted yourself from the Mizbeach? But we don't take it seriously.
You've done it on autopilot or half brain dead, or me. I've done it on autopilot or half brain dead most of the time.
Say that again. Sorry.
Most of the time, I'm doing it on.
That's not what you said. No, you're not quoting yourself properly. You started the sentence with a but. When you first said what you said but. You're running on autopilot. Yes.
Right.
Because let me teach you something. Let me teach you something. The Yetzirah always starts his sentences with the word but. So everything you're presenting now, and it was well presented, is a presentation of the Yetzirah. Kulu Yetzirah. Avada, there's a dimension of
mitzvah. But it's true.
I didn't say not. I said for sure there's that aspect of mitzvah. Yeah, there's a big chunk of that. Some of that's good, by the way. Some of that's good because it means you've gone beyond that already in your Bechira. You're now on a higher level of your Bechira. But find where your Bechira point is and celebrate those moments. Now, the Eight Torah gets you to look at everything that's not celebratable, for sure. No, but I want you to look at what is celebratable. And you'll see there's a lot. There's an enormous amount. Because getting out of bed in the morning when it's freezing cold is not automatum. Maybe for you it is. I don't know. I'm using an example. It's a marshal. But I'm just saying, find the one for you. That's not automatum. You could have turned over and gone back to sleep for another half an hour, you know. Yeah. You could have. I don't know. Maybe you could have. Some people, I for sure could. Yeah. You know, as you get up and that cold wind hits your back, you know, and you're like, okay. For somebody else, maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in Shemoneh Esrei, they decided that for the first 8 seconds of Shemoneh Esrei, you're going to concentrate on what you're saying. Instead of, you know, just the whole Shemoneh Esrei being one big automaton, you'll actually have 5 seconds of real time, maybe. Maybe you'll actually feel for half an hour, a second, that there's something going on with you and Hashem at this moment. I don't know. Each person, wherever he is, about yeah, for sure. Pischilu pesach kechuda shel machat. Open for me a pinprick. That's what Hashem says. The Yetzirah says, but it's only a pinprick. But it's nothing. Yeah, you ain't going to go anywhere just opening up pinpricks. You've got to do something big. No, but Hashem says, open for me a pinprick. So find the pinpricks. The things that are not Mesiras Nefesh are not Mesiras Nefesh. Don't fool yourself into thinking that, wow, there was a big moment of Mesiras Nefesh. You know, no, if it wasn't a moment of Mesiras Nefesh, it wasn't. But sometimes you'll look, you'll see, you'll find big, big things of Mesiras Nefesh. You're driving to shul, yeah? The heat's just started coming into the car. It's nicely warming up. You're enjoying the time alone, whatever. You've got 5 minutes to get to shul. And there's a yid standing on the side of the road, laking for a ride. Now, how many thoughts go through your mind? I'm a driver, so I can tell you for myself. First of all, he's standing in a place that's dangerous. I can't stop here. I mean, the fact that there's no one else on the road at the moment doesn't sort of like enter into my mind. So why is the idiot standing there? Why didn't he stand somewhere else? And therefore, sure, I can't stop for it. Yeah, then there's a corona question. Should you have the guy in your car? You shouldn't have him in the car. Then when he opens the door, it's going to get cold in the other. He's just started coming in. How many sinus you have in that split second of suddenly you're stopping for the guy, you're not stopping for him? Now, somebody listening to me might say, what's the matter with you? For sure you stop. What's the question? You let a yid stand on the side of the road and you don't stop. For you? Matakzori? Yes, he doesn't know what this nisayin is. But I do. A lot of people know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I didn't make this up. A lot of people know what that nisayin is. It's a yitzhara when you have a car not to stop for people. When you don't have a car, you never have a Yetzirah not to stop for somebody. You never had that Yetzirah. Yeah? So let's say you did stop. Wow, that's a major event. That's a big event. For me, if I came to Bnei Brak when he was on his way from the college to the Kailo, and somebody stopped him and said, where are you going? He said, Bnei Brak. And he said, yeah, me too. And he would take him to Bnei Brak. Yeah? We had no intention of going to Bnei Brak. He was on his way home, 3 minutes away from me. Else. And we take a guy to Bnei Brak. Okay, for him, for he, if I would tell him what I'm telling you, and I tell him, you're an Achzori. You're an Eved, and you're behaving like an Achzori. How can you leave the youth standing on the side of the road and he needs to get to Bnei Brak? So you take him. What's the problem? Why do you have a car? Because Hashem wants you to have a car. No, Hashem wants you to have a car so you can drive shoes around. Why else do you have a car? said, okay, the dog is like that as well. For me, that's it's one small example. It's one small davening, and these guys come around, these shalachim come around to collect money. Yeah, you get irritated or not? Just once, don't get irritated, and that's a big mesiras nefesh. Why are you getting irritated? Just be aware of that. Just being aware of the fact that you're irritated because this guy's marrying off his daughter and doesn't have money. The fact that you get irritated is already, that's what's going on here. There's an opportunity for unbelievable greatness. That's your kedah. But we don't notice those moments. Those moments just flip past and go past because we're not aware. We have to just become a little bit more aware of what's going on in our lives. And you'll find plenty of opportunities to be a Yitzchak. Plenty of opportunities. Your day is filled with unbelievable greatness, but you don't realize it. So that's a chaval. Greatness begins with awareness. You first become aware. The minute you become aware of something, if you would become aware for 1 minute, the awareness of it, not doing anything about it, just being aware of the fact that your Shmona Esrei looks a bit like the one, you know, yesterday's one and the one before. There's nothing new here. There's no conversation taking place. There's no you, me, now. There's absolutely no Hashem and me in the room alone together now having a conversation. If you recognize that, just the awareness of it, without any judgment, without any criticism, without any, just the fair fact that that's my reality in Shmona Esrei, that's already godless. The simple awareness of what's going on, that's already greatness, unbelievable greatness. How did Yitzhak come to say, Abba, please bind me? Because he became aware of the fact that, you know what, I'm very chosser. I can't override my physical reactions. I can't do that, says Yitzhak. So therefore, that awareness led to the Akedah. And he thought that he was cool, that he not realized the fact that when this knife comes near him, he's going to twitch. You know, he hadn't got to Ramosha Feinstein's level. You know, he wasn't holding there. So he was aware of his chesaron for him. He couldn't override his, you know, his nerval responses, his reflex responses. So ask Hashem, please ask Abba, please tie me down. It started with an awareness, that's all. That awareness is critical. And with that, that's where the Yetzer Hara are. The Yetzer Hara has little time to analyze and think about our lives. But if you would stop for 5 minutes and look at your life, you'll see thousands of opportunities for akedahs, for greatness. Or you can just go back to being mediocre and being happy with that. That's your choice. I mean, but people want to be great. Yeah, but I'll never be great like. You know, forget about the like. You have to be great like you. It starts with the akedah. It starts with just stopping and saying, 1 second. Yeah, you know how many times I was meis nefesh today? Not as a gaiva dika thing. Just to take pleasure from it. To have untold pleasure from the fact that, wow, you know, I was meis nefesh today. Shabbos, wow, Shabbos, there's a million opportunities to be meis nefesh. That's endless. Okay. Tov. I hope they've warmed you up a little bit. But it's important to mechazek in this. This is odd, more chashuv. The Yetzer Hara wants you to do what Baruch did today. That's it. Yeah, but it's this, but. For sure, you're right. All the buts, you're not. Nachinami, it's true, you're right. But that's not what I'm talking about. I want to focus on the positive. There's plenty positive. There's plenty opportunities in our lives to be Moshe Nefesh. And we're doing it all the time. You just don't notice it. You become aware of it. You realize how great you really are.
Yeah, but why is that different from drugs? Is
escapism? But why doesn't cover up the fact that it's Yetzer Hara, because there's a but there. And you just cover it up with a yeah. You know, like behold. Behold, but, you know, or hear, O Israel. You know?
But it's escapism.
What do you want to say?
It's escapism. It's like taking drugs. I focus on one limited part of my reality instead of the whole.
What is?
I'm telling myself Yosher Koyach for this one little thing that I did right in Shmona Esrei. Okay. Instead of like putting it in context, everything that's going on in my day. So like, yeah, if I only look with blinders on it, that one little thing, shkoya, pat myself on the back. But if I'm looking at the whole body of work, you know, it's a different view. And so you're saying just focus on the one little thing, give yourself a pat on the back. But that's...
I never said just focus on that. I said focus on that as well. Give it its full due. You want to ignore it and mevatel it against the backdrop of everything. You want that piece to get lost in the big picture. I'm saying don't get it lost in the big picture. Take it out and celebrate it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. It's a hard one to swallow, but it's true. And when you swallow this one, your life will be very different. If you have a system, any system, yeah, I don't care how complex the system is. If you make the smallest microscopic change to that system, you have a new system. It's not the same system with a difference. It's a completely different system. That's already the beginning of that system having changed. So yeah, you have the whole big picture, nothing's changed, but something has changed. You have to be able to see those little things. That's how people became great. No one became great from doing anything great. They became great from doing lots of little things. Those little things add up. When you don't allow them to add up and the bank account stays empty all the time, then you finish. Then you've got nothing. Same as a Karas HaToyv. It's a big nisayon. It's a terrible challenge. I'm not talking about it because it's a law called Kach Pashut for me, this. If somebody does you a favor, somebody does you something nice, right? What do you do with that? You bank it. So the next time the person irritates you, you've got one in the bank. So when they irritate you, you don't have to get irritated because you have one in the bank. You know, if someone gave you $30 million and it's sitting in the bank, $50 million, they gave you a present, it's sitting in the bank. And then you see the person taking 10 bucks of yours and throwing it out the window. How upset do you get? Don't get upset at all because there's $50 million in the bank that they gave you. So same with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. When you do something small, you bank it, so then it grows. Our grandparents knew that the way we became rich was by saving money. That's how you became rich. You didn't become rich by spending the money you have. When you spend what you earn, you become poorer. You know, if you refurbish your kitchen every 3 weeks, you don't get richer, you get poorer. If you keep your money, you get richer. But they understood that it starts with pennies. You have one penny and then another penny and another penny and another penny. We can't beat it like this. We want to be billionaires. Someone else gives you 50 bucks. Nah, 50 bucks. I'm not getting in a bid for 50 bucks. I want to be a billionaire. No, I like money. I want 50 bucks. I get up, I take the 50 bucks. It adds, it adds, it adds, it adds. And eventually you've got a lot. The same as in Ruchnias. Sarah was greater than Avram. You know why? Because while Avram was busy out there killing four kings and five kings and destroying stone and doing big things, Sarah was at home, you know, making the challahs, making the lights, making sure the house ran properly, doing lots of little things. She became a bigger Navi than Avram. But you have to be aware of those things. Otherwise, you just become miserable against the background of your own greatness. And the Yetzer Hara will focus you all the time on your negative side. That's what he wants. But you know, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, the Yetzer Hara doesn't want your Avera. He wants how you feel after the Avera. He wants that feeling of Yush after the Avera. Lo man yenot, to do an Avera, do a mitzvah, he doesn't care. What he cares about is how you feel afterwards. So if your mitzvah looks exactly, if you look the same after your mitzvah as you did after your veira, because neither of them had any resonance with you, so then you're out. You did a mitzvah, and afterwards you feel miserable. Does that mean you did an veira? You did a mitzvah. You have to celebrate, bank it. You did an veira. Now's an opportunity to do tshuva, which is also mitzvah, so bank the tshuva. You can choose to be positive or negative. You can choose to not start sentences with a but, or a yeah but, or a behold but. To be continued. Rav Wolitzki's already come to check where you are, Baruch. You better get in there faster.
Yeah.